All for being back here again this afternoon. I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. We will begin reading verse 11. It says, "To this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And if that sounds familiar, it should, because that's the verse that James started off with as well. I was unaware that he was starting off with that verse, and I'm sure he was unaware that I was starting off with this verse. We've been studying throughout the weeks on Thursday afternoons in the Timothys, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and we've noticed that it says repeat things over and over and over again. So we're just practicing that. That's what we're going for here. But he specifically used verse 12 of this passage as his jumping point for where the rest of his lesson would go. And I'm using verse 11, so it kind of works out well. There are going to be some repeated themes, but I hope it's different enough that it'll be beneficial. So verse 11 says, "That our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good." Resolve for good, and specifically this afternoon we want to look at resolving to be new. This time of year brings a lot of fresh starts, a lot of new beginnings. And as humans, we enjoy clean slates. We enjoy starting over. We enjoy a fresh start and a new beginning. And as I said, this time of year brings a lot of those. You probably have some new gifts right now that you didn't have maybe a week or two ago that you're excited about. They're new. And you're excited to use them and maybe put away the old that you had from last year. Jim introduced a new theme this morning, "Let Jesus be seen." And one goal of bringing up a new theme and starting over when the year starts is to energize us. It's to give us new purpose. To put away what we did last year, remember it, but to move on to something new, something challenging. I think also in our lives that we enjoy new things, such as maybe a move. The Boyds have moved to a new house recently, and Jim and I were able to go over there on Thursday, and we actually both got haircuts, which is a fresh start in and of itself. I can put away the disgusting hair I had for the last 2 months. It's all gone, and now I can just start over. It's a fresh start. We enjoy that. And of course, that's on a much smaller scale, but I think that proves the point, is that we enjoy starting over. We enjoy fresh things. And maybe for Nicholas and for our students, a new semester can energize you. I know it did when I was in school. Maybe your goal might be to be more organized. Or maybe it's to be more social, maybe find more friends. Or maybe it's to be less social and get better grades. That might be a goal as well. But this human desire for fresh starts, this human desire for new beginnings and a clean slate, leads to New Year's resolutions. That's why we have those at the beginning of every year. We want to be better than we were the year before, and that's a good desire. I have a stat here that says 45% of Americans usually make New Year's resolutions. I don't know how true that is. But about half of us have probably thought about ways that we're going to try to change our life and maybe write some things down, write down some goals, that we want to be different in 2017 than we were in 2016. And I looked up, this was just a simple Google search about the top New Year's resolutions. What are some common ones that Americans usually try to incorporate into their life? Number one, go on a diet. That's probably a well-known one. That's one that I will be trying at some point this year as well. Exercise more, maybe get to the gym more. Another goal might be to spend less money, to save more. Might be a resolution of yours that you want to set aside more money and spend less. Another common one was to cut back on work, to spend more time with family. Another one was get organized, travel to new places, and read more books. So that gives you an idea of some resolutions that we might try. And you might be trying some of those I know I'm trying a few of those, but another stat that kind of is interesting, I think, is that 46% of those last even 6 months. After 6 months, most of them are gone. We've stopped. So what does that tell us? What can we learn about the human desire for a fresh start? And from those statistics is that we really enjoy fresh starts. A lot of us like starting over, but maybe that new feeling tends to wear off over time. And we've experienced that in our own lives. Think about the New Year's resolutions you made in 2016. Were you doing them in December? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. But this new year always brings with it excitement and hope, and I think maybe even more so this year than maybe any other years in the past. 2016 has been dubbed the worst year ever if you've been on Facebook for any amount of time. And I think it probably has to do with political turmoil. There's been a lot of celebrities passing away, so it's been a rough year from that standpoint, but to call it the worst year ever is incredibly immature, and there's no way 2016 has been the worst year. If it's the worst year you've ever had, count yourself blessed, because there's been a lot of our ancestors who have gone through much worse. But with that being said, I think the eagerness to exit 2016 and to start over, to begin a new year, so excited about 2017, I think the excitement might be a little unparalleled. And I have here a Facebook post that one of my friends made last week, a few days ago, and I'd just like to read it for you. She says, "We have got to get rid of this 2016 is the worst year ever mentality. 2016 is not the worst year ever, nor will it ever be the worst year ever. Talking bad about all the things that happened this year is a negative and pessimistic way of thinking, and it is heartbreakingly detrimental in so many ways. Also, 2017 will probably not be better than 2016. In 2017, social injustice will still occur, famous people will still pass away, and the government will still make you angry. With that being said, that does not mean that 2017 will be a bad year. We can still do great things. Maybe we all thought 2016 was so terrible because we sat around and expected something good to happen. What if in 2017 we get up and make something good happen? Be a friend, give to others, help those who need help, encourage people. Will bad things still happen next year? Yes. But friends, let's stop expecting the world to get better, and instead, let's make the world a better place." And so that kind of summarized what I had been thinking all throughout the end of this year, as I'm seeing people summarize the year and how it was so terrible. But that leads us to making resolutions. We want to make this year better than the last. And we're not going, I hate to break it to you, if you really think you're going to change the world by going on a diet or exercising more or traveling more, it's not going to happen. It might change your world a little bit, which is fine and dandy, but we're not going to change our lives spiritually significantly through any of those typical resolutions. And as is always the goal of any good sermon, we have to try to change our mentality from the physical to the spiritual. How can we begin to change our lives? How can we begin to change ourselves, our families, and the church for the better? So now I say all that to get to spiritual resolutions. Think about maybe some that you might make. And what I want you to do this afternoon, if you go through this exercise with me, I think it'll be beneficial. I just want you to come up with one. I want you to come up with one right now and think of a resolution, what you want to do better in 2017 than you did in 2016. You can write it down, you can keep it in your head, but keep it in your mind as we go through the lesson. If you have trouble thinking of some, here's some examples. You might want to start a daily Bible reading program. That's a pretty typical, common spiritual resolution. Maybe praying every day would be a great resolution for you to make, or just to pray more than you did last year. Another resolution you might be encouraged to make is to attend every church gathering possible. Maybe it's to speak more to more people about the gospel, or maybe it's to show hospitality regularly. Whatever it is for you, come up with one and think about it as we go through this lesson. So let's get into our preview, what three main points we're going to be going through this afternoon. Number one is that a Christ-like mentality allows for resolution. Number two, that a resolution will only occur if we are truly changed. And lastly, that discipline leads to a continual renewal. So before we get into point number one, we're going to turn to Daniel chapter 1 and just read a few verses there to set the stage for the 3 points. Daniel chapter 1, we'll read verse 5 and then also verse 8 and 9. Verse 5 beginning says, "The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. And they were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king." So here's this group of Jewish young men who were assigned to eat a certain kind of food and drink for this period of time. And we see their names listed in verse 6 and 7. And then, we see Daniel in verse 8. But it says, "Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs." So here we see Daniel, it says he resolved. He made a resolution not to defile himself with the food. The Hebrew text literally reads where it says resolve, it says laid up in his heart. It was in his heart, and he had resolved not to defile himself. And one thing we want to learn about Daniel is that, where did he learn this? He had learned this from the teachings of the old law. Daniel was a Jew, of course. And under the old law, Jews were commanded not to eat or drink certain things. Daniel knew this. He had been paying attention as a young man. And he had resolved to obey this law. He had laid it up in his heart not to defile himself. Notice what it says in verse 9. That God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. When he made this resolution not to defile himself, God had favor on him. And we also know throughout the whole story of Daniel that God was with him through the whole book. And my encouragement to you this afternoon is that God will be with you if you resolve to obey him. Whatever your resolution is, if you commit to it in your heart, if you lay it up in your heart, and you learn exactly why you need to make that resolution, God will show you favor. All right. Point number one is that a Christ-like mentality allows for resolution. How are you going to follow through with this resolution? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Verse 17 is what we want to focus on. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Remember our human desire for fresh starts. We enjoy being new. So if we, as a people, can become new, that sounds like something we would want to take advantage of. But how do we become this new creation? Do you see a theme from what I have up on the screen? It says, "We will be a new creation if anyone is in Christ," in verse 17. It also uses the phrase "in Christ" in verse 19. Verse 18 talks about all this is from God who through Christ. In verse 20, we're described as ambassadors for Christ. And in verse 20, that it's on behalf of Christ. You see that Christ is the key. He is the key to a resolved new life. And that involves thinking like Christ, that involves actually acting like Christ, and also that without him, we cannot be new. We have no hope at being a new creation unless we have him. Turn also to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 beginning says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained." So using this passage, we want to apply that to the resolution, whatever it is that you've made up in your mind. What's the first step to any resolution? You have to admit your imperfections, right? You got to come to grips with the fact that you weren't very good and you're trying to get better. What good is a physical resolution, for example? What good is it if I make a resolution to exercise more, and yet I'm not willing to admit that maybe I need to exercise more? That's not going to get me anywhere. I'm going to do it for a little bit, and I'm going to quit. But if I'm fully willing to admit that I'm imperfect and that I need a change in some area, you're going to be willing to try to change it. At least you should be. And the same goes spiritually. If your goal is to read the Bible every day, if you're not willing to admit that you maybe didn't do that last year, if you're not willing to come to grips with the fact that you weren't that good at reading the Bible last year, if that's your resolution, then you're not going to make that resolution very, very long. Another key that we see here is that we have to forget what lies behind. We have to forget what we used to be. And I say that from one perspective only. We have to remember who we were, because that will help to motivate us to be better. But think about it from a physical standpoint. If I need to go, feel like I need to go on a diet or exercise more, I have to maybe remember what I used to be and that I want to be different. But I also have to use it to motivate me. And I also have to use it to completely forget so that it's not weighing me down. Because if I focus my entire thought process on how what I used to be, it's going to be hard to move on. It's going to be hard to press forward. Which brings us to our next point. In verse 12 through 14, it says, we have to press on to make it our own. We have to strain towards what lies ahead. We have to press on towards the goal. What's that goal for you this year? Maybe it's just one thing. Press on towards the goal. Strain. Work hard towards attaining it. And in that way, you forget what lies behind, and you completely put it out of your mind to not let it distract you from your goal. It also says that we have to be mature in thought. Don't miss this point. We have to be mature in our thinking. Those of us who are mature, it says in verse 15, will think this way. What is this way? Those of us who are mature with our resolutions are going to think this way. We'll be willing to admit imperfections. We'll be willing to forget what lies behind, truly put it behind us. And then we'll press on and we're strained towards the goal. And our last point from Philippians 3 and verse 12 through 16 is very important from verse 16, that we have to hold true to what we have attained. What do you think that means with connection to a spiritual resolution? What if your spiritual resolution is to read the Bible more every day, but you forget what you've already attained? You forget. Maybe you're pretty good at praying, or maybe you're pretty good at showing hospitality, or maybe you're pretty good at showing up. How good would God be pleased with us if we read the Bible every day, but we forgot everything else that we had already been doing well? That would be counterproductive. Let us hold true to what we have attained. Hold on to what we have already. And if we have this attitude that it says on the screen, this attitude that Paul has, then we're right on our way to being made new, as God is striving to make us. So a Christ-like mentality will allow for resolution. Point number two is that resolution will only occur if we are truly changed. We have to be truly changed from within. Change is only going to result if we have two things that we want to focus on. True displeasure with the old and a true desire for the new. We have to have a true displeasure with our old self, and that's a lot of what Jim was talking about this morning. We have to have a true disgust for our past failures. The way that we used to be, we have to truly be displeased with it. And then on the other hand, we have to desire the new. We have to have a passion to improve. And we'll see this theme in several scriptures as we go through. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 is our first passage. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, "Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened." And I know this verse is in the context of purging evil people from the body. But we can also translate that to us spiritually in our resolutions, right? We get rid of that which is old, that which keeps us from becoming new. What does the verse say? You cleanse it out. Cleanse out the old lump. Whatever keeps you from that resolution, whatever you have in your head, whatever keeps you from doing that, get rid of it. Because we are not going to be new until we are sufficiently disgusted with the old. Otherwise, why change? If I'm not sufficiently disgusted with where I used to be in my prayer life, then I'm not going to get better. And that goes right along with admitting the imperfections that we talked about in the last point. Turn also to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Put away that which does not help you become new." Verse 2 says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." I suggest to you that if you really want to fulfill this resolution, or however many you come up with, you got to desire the milk of the Word. You have to desire the basics of what God has to offer us. You have to grow from a newborn. You have to grow into maturity. Because what's the goal of any good resolution? It's to mature, right? To grow. To see tangible progress from 2016 to 2017, 2015 to 2016. If we want to be new, we have to go back to the basics, and we have to long for the pure spiritual milk. Turn also to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This is one of the passages that Jim discussed in detail this morning, so we won't go into it as much. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So hopefully that was a good review of what Jim talked about this morning. But our old way of life is pretty well detailed here in this passage, right? We're to no longer walk as the Gentiles do. We're no longer to be darkened in understanding, to be alienated and ignorant, and to be hard of heart. In our former life, we were calloused, we were sensual, greedy, and impure. So what we're trying to get across is that this old way of life has to go away. And Jim talked about that in very great detail this morning. But the new way of life, this way of Christ, is also detailed in this passage as well. And really, I'll just briefly summarize that we are to be renewed in spirit and mind. We are to be made new over and over and over again in our spirit and in our minds and in our hearts. There's more we could say on that, but Jim pretty well summarized it this morning. So we'll turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and spend a little more time on that passage. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So the first thing we have to do, if we're going to achieve this resolution, we've got to set our minds on the spiritual and not the physical. Of course, it talks all throughout this passage about putting to death what is earthly in you, putting off your old self, putting off the old practices. Whatever you had in your life that's going to prevent you from sticking to your resolution, that's what we're being called to put away. And sin is the number one thing that gets in our way. But after we put off that old self, the new self has to come on. And what I want you to notice in verse 10 is that the grammar in this verse, it says, "have put on the new self," which is renewed? No. It says it is being renewed. It is a process, folks. We are in the process of renewal. We will never get to the point where we're just new enough. Maybe we don't have to keep working at it. And isn't that kind of why resolutions fail? I think maybe that's why. It's because we're not aware that it's a process. We want the instant gratification, we're done. And in a month of going to the gym, I look like I want to. Or after a month of praying to God, my relationship with Him is just perfect. That's not the way it works. Maybe it's because we feel like we don't attain anything through these resolutions. You do, I promise you, you do. If you stick with them, you'll gain a lot more than you do if you quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." It doesn't just say our inner self is now new. It says it's being renewed. How often? Day by day. A continual process. So how might we become renewed day by day? That brings us to our third and final point, is that discipline leads to a continual renewal. That renewal process can continue if we have discipline. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's going to be on the screen as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." What do you see in this passage that's underlined? Discipline, control. Other words we might use for that idea is determination or commitment. And I want you to approach, and I want myself to approach our spiritual resolutions with those attitudes. Notice also what I've highlighted in red. Run that you may obtain it. Not just because it's January 1st, not because it's that time of year, so maybe you feel like you should make some. Because I guarantee you, those ones won't last. This has to come from the heart. It has to come not because of what the calendar says, but because you truly want to change. Make a resolve to be new because you know that you need it, because you know that God wants it from you, and because you're willing to endure the process. What else do I have highlighted in red here? So I do not run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air. I have a purpose with what I'm doing. Have a purpose for your resolution. Have a goal and follow through with it. Think back to Daniel, the example of Daniel. He laid it up in his heart to resolve to obey God and to follow through on his commandments. Whatever your resolution is, follow Daniel's example. Lay it up in your heart and be resolved. Back to our main passage. Just want to read it one more time. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God fulfills every resolve for good. Whatever your resolution is, do good by it. And it also says at the beginning, Jim talked about a little bit this morning, is that we ought to pray for one another to resolve to be new. We always pray for you that God may fulfill those resolutions. And everything I have underlined here should point out that our resolutions will only be fulfilled with God's help. Allow God to fulfill your resolution for good. So what are our three main points? What have we looked at this afternoon? Number one, that a Christ-like mentality is essential for resolution. We've got to think like him. We've got to act like him. And if we don't have Christ on the brain, it's not going to work. Number two, that our new life will only be achieved if we are truly changed from within. And that discipline leads to a continual renewal. If we have a purpose and we know what our purpose is in doing this resolution, then we're going to be willing to endure the process. God doesn't promise just a snap of the finger. He wants to work us in to what he wants us to be. But regardless of our dedication to be resolved to live a new life, we will stumble on occasion. I'm not here saying that December, Christmas of next year, you're going to necessarily have done what you resolved to do every day. We're going to stumble. But eventually God is going to take his new creations. That's us. He's going to take whoever has become new, and he's going to give us a new home. Won't that be wonderful? Where we don't have to worry about this anymore. Because thankfully God has prepared a place for us that will be totally new. It's going to be free from anything that might hinder our resolve to be new. Revelation 21 and verse 5 says, "Behold, I am making all things new." He's making us new. He's making you new. He's making the whole church worldwide into a new people. And he's promised us a new dwelling place, one that he has prepared in advance for those who follow him. There's not going to be any need for New Year's resolutions. We're not going to be in heaven for a year and say, "Well, what do I have to change?" It's not going to happen. There's not going to be any need for improvement or reflection on our former self. We're never going to grow old. But the only way to reach that home is to allow God to change us into a new people here on earth. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It'll be our last passage this afternoon. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We can walk in newness of life right now. He expects us to. So my question for you this afternoon is, are you ready to walk in that newness of life today? 2016 is over. Put it behind you. Allow it to motivate you, but throw off what hinders you and move on to 2017. It's up to us. What are you going to do with your fresh start? If you want to walk in newness of life, as Romans 6 and verse 4 says, I can't think of a better New Year's resolution to start a new life in Christ today. If we can help you in any way this afternoon, if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.